Já nyilván ezt kell kérdődöm a sorhelyre. Köszönöm, hogy itt nem tényleg a szállni sűrűről lényomát.
This 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one of the verses describing the qualities of Krishna's devotee. Advaishta Sarvabhutanam, he's not envious or hateful toward any other living being. Generally, the material world is characterized by envy. People are working out of envy to get ahead of others. I have a friend who was in Kuwait, Indian devotee. He was working in a company and had a program for spreading Krishna consciousness. Developed quite nicely. And one of his co-workers, who was a Hindu, informed upon him to the government that this man is spreading Hinduism in our Muslim country. But he was a Hindu, but he reported him, because if that man was gone, then this man would be able to climb up the ladder. So just out of envy. But if we can cause trouble for this man, then my position will improve. Adveshta Sarvabhutana. But a devotee is Maitra Karuna Evacha. He's a friend to all the Indians, not only to his countrymen or his family members, but or to all humanity. Sarvabhutana. He's kind to the trees, he's kind to the fish, he's kind to the cows, he's kind to the goats, he's kind to even the ants. Maitra, he's friendly to them all. They're all part and parcel of Krishna. They're all living entities. That's why I brought a plate of prasadam to Srila Prabhupada, and some big black ants, a few big black ants began crawling on the plate. So I started to brush them off.
Carl said, let them play. He said, they're also living entities.
Or another time, probably the ants were eating something, but it said, anyway, they don't take very much. Friendly toward all the living beings, not hateful or envious or making distinctions, but friendly toward all and merciful. He sees how other living beings are suffering because of having turned away from Krishna. And so he tries to help them. Of course, the animals, how much can we help? Of course, we can give them some prasad sometimes. But especially the human beings have the opportunity to understand something about Krishna. So the devotee, out of kindness, out of mercy, is trying to bring others to Krishna consciousness. And nirmalo-nirahankara. Nirahankara means he knows, I'm not this body. The whole world is thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that. They're thinking in terms of the gross body or at least the subtle body as being the self. But this is called a false ego. And then the impersonalists try to snuff out their individuality and get rid of their ego that way. But a devotee knows his real identity as a servant of Krishna. So he's actually freed from false ego. And nirmama, he knows, nothing belongs to me. Isha abhasha nigam saravam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Even my body belongs to Krishna. Not to speak of my so-called possessions. It's all Krishna's property. And whatever I'm claiming is mine is only on loan from Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking with some disciples in America, and they pointed out in the distance, this is the mansion of such and such millionaire E.M. Hunt. We tried to go see him to distribute our books, but the security guard stopped us. The Prophet said, if you'd met him, what would you have said? So different devotees were answering, oh, because you're a very distinguished gentleman, we brought you these books. That sort of answer. The Prophet said, no, you should have told him that you're a thief. Everything you have belongs to Krishna, and you should give it all back. They're thinking, this is mine. So much have I gotten now, and I'll get more. Eam by my schemes, I'll get more in the future. He's my enemy, I've killed him, and I'll slaughter my other enemies also. I'm sort of a rich man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. Konyosti Sadrishovana, who else is there like me? What is that? Tasye, Amodishya, I'll give charity, I'll perform sacrifices, and in this way I'll enjoy it. It can be one time. This way they'll be ruled by illusion. But a devotee, nirmamo nirahankara, I'm not this body, nothing belongs to me. Sama sukha dukkhakshami. And therefore, because he's situated in Krishna consciousness, he's equal in happiness and distress. Material happiness is not actual happiness. And material distress, what is that? So he just takes it as Krishna's mercy either way, that there's distress and happiness are related to this body only. Adama paino nityas. They come and go. As summer and winter come and go, happiness and distress come and go. So he's not attached to happiness or pursuing happiness, nor is he overly disturbed by distress. He tolerates. Kshami means tolerance. He tolerates. Thomas de Tixia spoke about it. Arjuna, where Krishna advised her, you just tolerate. Don't be overly distressed by trouble, and don't be overly elated by some temporary enjoyment. Samadukha sukat shami. Santushta satam yogi. Santushta means he's satisfied. He's satisfied because he's in touch with Krishna within his body. Because he knows I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. Because he knows I'm part of Krishna, and he's thinking of Krishna. So he's satisfied within. He doesn't need a new television, a new VCR, a new this, a new that, a new girlfriend, a new this, to be satisfied. He's satisfied by nature. Santushta, Sakatam Yogi. And he's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Yoga. Santushta Satatam Yogi. What name came to you? The Tatma Vrittanishtara. And he's always engaging in endeavoring for advancement in Krishna consciousness and Krishna service. Vrittanishtara, with great faith and determination. Mayarpatamanobhutya. Everyone has intelligence and a mind, and generally the mind is going in every which way, filled with ideas of sense gratification, and the mind pulls on the intelligence. I have an idea for sense gratification. How can we do it? And then the intelligence becomes engaged. How can we get sense gratification? Prabhupada gave the example of the cat. In America, people keep cats in their homes. So you're in your kitchen and there's some milk on the table. Well, the cat doesn't jump up to take it. The cat waits till you leave the kitchen, then he jumps up and takes it. So that's intelligence. But that intelligence is simply directed toward eating, sleeping, mating, the family. So that's the intelligence of animal life. And the human beings, polished animals, are using their intelligence the same way. They're thinking, how can we eat better? How can we sleep better? How can we have sex better? He's very intelligent, so he's devising some kind of medication or some kind of club or some kind of arrangement for better sex. The same thing which the animal is getting, he's directing his human intelligence toward getting. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, fighting. How much human intelligence is directed toward defense? In America, our tax money, I think about 50% of tax money goes for defense, so-called defense, it means warfare. Anyway, defense. And high tech and all sorts of intelligence, even the Secret Service aimed at finding out so many things is called the Intelligence Department. So that's their idea of intelligence. Intelligence, if you're defending yourself with all sorts of high-tech stuff, that's a good use of intelligence. But that's what the animal does also. So of course we need to eat, we need to sleep, sex is required, and we have to defend ourselves. not the business of human life. If that's all we do, then we're no better than the animals. The human intelligence is meant for understanding Krishna, and the human mind is meant to be focused on Krishna. So, Mayarpita Mano Bhutir. A devotee offers his intelligence and mind to Krishna. We don't have to have a lot of money or a lot of possessions to worship Krishna. We can offer our mind and intelligence to Krishna. It belongs to Krishna anyway, but we're trying to separate it from Krishna and use it for external purposes. And we're not satisfied. We're trying and endeavoring and working hard, and it's not working. It's a failure from generation to generation. But the intelligent person offers his mind and intelligence to Krishna. Mayarpita Mano Bhutir. Yomantakta Samepriya. Is that good? So, because he has these qualities, he's very dear to Krishna. And that's the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement, to become dear to Krishna, to reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna. In material life, we want to establish a dear, loving relationship with others in this material world, with some woman, with some family members. But the invitation is there to become dear to Krishna. What will the family members do for me? If I think of my wife and children at the time of death, what good will it do? But if one thinks of Krishna, then one gets free from material existence. In this life also, by thinking of my family, then I'm simply absorbed in family affairs and working hard and what benefit? But if one is absorbed in thought of Krishna, whether one is in family life or not in family life, in any stage of life, by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one becomes dear to Krishna and one's life becomes successful. Well, this is our real business, and maybe we'll see what kind of questions you might have. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, it is because of envy we are in this material world.
It's because of envy we're in this material world.
Yes, and that means it is deep rooted.
That means it's deep rooted.
So how are we going to?
Yeah, actually, the envy begins at the top. We're envious of Krishna. Why should Krishna be supreme? Why should I have to serve him? It comes to that. Why does there have to be a God, and why do I have to serve him? That mentality. Why should I have to serve? There's a poem, Paradise Lost, by John Milton. There's a very pointed line there where Satan says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And that's the mentality. Everybody wants to be his own boss. No one wants to answer to anybody else. And especially not to a supreme boss. Why should I have to serve him? Why, if there's a God, why does he make me in such a way that I have to serve him? Why can't I enjoy for myself? Or envy takes another form, spiritual form. I am the drop. Let me become the ocean. Let me merge with God. Let me realize that there's no difference between God and my own self. Let me realize myself to be supreme. Why again? Why should God be on top? Why can't we be on an equal level? That's envy. Either I want to drag him down, there's no God, it's all myth, superstition, in which case, because like that man I was saying, I was colleague, got rid of him so he could come up. So we have the same mentality. If I can get rid of God, then I'm free. I can do whatever I like. So God is dead, there's no God, God is a myth, God is a superstition. Can't prove the existence of God, blah, 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 no God, no God. So that means I come up. If I can drag God down, then I come up. And that's envy. Or if I can become God, if I can't drag him down, then I'll drag myself up. To the final point, that I become as good as God. There's no difference between God and me. And that's again envy. Why should he be better than I am? We want democracy, everyone's on the same level, except that I'm a little higher level. So envy starts right there. And one becomes free from envy by changing one's consciousness from wanting to be independently great to understanding that I'm Krishna's servant. I'm Krishna's servant. So one gets free from the root of envy. When he's free from envy of Krishna, then naturally he becomes free from envy of others. If others advance in Krishna consciousness, that's good. Krishna will be more pleased. And if others advance materially, well, that's their misfortune. Why should I envy them? Like you have a fever, I have a fever, and you have a higher fever. Why should I envy you? Well, someone has more money, someone has a more beautiful wife, someone has more this, more that. Why should I be envious? It just means they have more trouble. Santushta said to them, you know, the Krishna conscious person is satisfied. Why should I be envious of others? That very unfortunate. So the devotee tries to make them fortunate. Yes?
To develop the attitude of friendliness with every living entity.
Friendliness? My relationship with Krishna. Just like if I go to a foreign country and I meet another American, then there's natural friendliness. Hi, how you doing? Where are you from? Oh, I'm from New York. New York, really? I'm also from New York. So there's a natural friendliness because we have some common point. I was just in Cairo. So in Cairo, if I meet another American amidst all the Egyptians and other people, then naturally there's friendship because there's a common interest. I may not know the man, I may have, but there's something in common. So friendliness is there. So when we see everyone in relationship with Krishna, then there's natural friendliness toward everyone. Because they're related to Krishna and I'm related to Krishna. So there's a natural cause of friendship. Yes?
What is the process to offer our mind intelligence to Krishna?
What's the process to offer the mind and intelligence to Krishna? Best process for offering the mind to Krishna is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That will fix the mind on Krishna by hearing and chanting. To try to do some jujitsu on the mind would be very difficult. But just to hear and chant will be effective. And intelligence, you can read these books, Prabhupada's books, and think about what you read. And you can think about how to serve Krishna and spread the Krishna consciousness movement. The devotees are busy thinking how to spread this Krishna consciousness, how to spread the Krishna consciousness. how to distribute these books, how to introduce the chant, how to bring people to devotional service. And they can be busy thinking and thinking and thinking. Or he's thinking, what can I do to serve Krishna? The pujaris are thinking, how can I just rest Krishna very nicely? Cooks are thinking, how can I improve my service? Everyone thinking, how can I serve Krishna? This is peeling back a little bit. Because, okay, I'll point it this way, maybe if you were better. Something else. Yes.
How can we gain enthusiasm and desire to serve and develop a relationship with someone we cannot directly perceive or understand?
How do you develop enthusiasm to serve someone we can't perceive? By associating with those who are enthusiastic, we also become enthusiastic. And we may not see Krishna, but we can see the devotee of Krishna. Or even better than trying to serve Krishna is to try to serve the servant of Krishna. That's tangible. And by serving with enthusiasm, we'll become more enthusiastic.
It may not be the right question to ask, but if you can explain how you were passing it for a while, came to Krishna consciousness, and
how I came to walk in the door and chant.
My question is a bit different from the question that you already asked. My question is based on when I go outside, we claim that we are Krishna conscious and we are very all the time Krishna conscious. But when we go outside and we start discriminating between people, these people and that people, sometimes we just show our liberated nature and other behavior to the other person whom we know that very well, that the person is belong to this Krishna or he is a religious person. We just behave in a very different way. But sometimes just the other person comes and he might be a different person. May not be a devotee or person. That time your real devotedness or real nature comes to action. Sometimes we have in a very strange way. We claim that we are devotee, we are bhakta, but we just discriminate between these people and that.
We claim that we're devotees, but we discriminate between these people and those people. That's very good. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that one should discriminate. On one platform, Panditas and Rupa, everyone's a living entity, there's no difference. But Rupa Goswami recommends that we discriminate between the devotees and the demons and the innocent persons and behave differently with them. It's like a cow and a snake. We know that they're both living entities, but we treat them differently. We'll take care of the cow and we'll run away from the snake. Right? You don't say, well, they're all living entities, let me embrace the snake, let me embrace the tiger. Well, we know there are different situations. So the association of devotees will help me. By associating with devotees, we make progress. So one is advised to seek out the association of devotees, satovate, and sangatyaga. One is advised to avoid the association of the demons, those who are atheistic, opposed to Krishna consciousness, absorbed in materialistic enmity. All right, avoid them. And those who are innocent, we'll try to help them. If there's some person, he's not adamantly opposed, he's just stuck in material then we see, oh, here's a candidate. He could become Krishna conscious. Let me tell him something about Krishna, give him the mantra, give him the books, give him some prasadam, give him some opportunity. So he behaves, he's merciful to the non-devotees, and he's friendly with the devotees.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to ask. You know, the person may not be a non-devotee. In a way, our behavior must be very constant. Very, you know, very constant behavior must be there. You know, if we are living in our real test is when we go outside. I think our real test as a devotee is comes to action when we go outside. That's the real. I was listening to Prabhuji's lecture. There was, and I just picked up that point. When you go outside, your family is the best way, best part, best platform to play that whatever you have learned in your Krishna consciousness.
Your family is your best
platform where you can play, you can just practice all these values that you have learned in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So I think I just do, I honestly I have to ask myself, when I'm a devotee, then I'm a devotee for all the time, not for this time and not for all the time. So my behavior must be very constant, I must be very balanced. So I should not discriminate between he is chai wala, he is a devotee and this person.
Our behavior should be constant, but discriminate. We should constantly avoid the demonic. And we should always be kind to the innocent. And always be friends with the devotees. It's not that we have to be the same toward everyone. That's just like food. It's not that you treat rotten food and fresh food the same. You know that it's all Krishna's energy, but if it's rotten, or it's just like for some people, liquor is food. But now we say, well, it's food for them. I guess it should be food for me. We don't say, well, the tea is just water with some different color. Why should I discriminate against the tea? We've taken a vow that, all right, tea is a liquid and water is a liquid, but by drinking the water I become purified and refreshed, and by drinking the tea I become a little, what's the word, revved up, intoxicated. So the tea I'll consistently avoid, and the water I'll consistently accept. Not that I have to say, well, there's no difference between anything, that's artificial. Artificially pretend that there's no difference between anything and anything else. So people also, one side pandita, some aversion, they're all living beings. But because they're all living beings, you don't embrace the tiger. Right?
Then we have to use our practical intelligence even if we're outside.
Practical intelligence means discrimination. A person who can't discriminate between one thing and another thing has no practical intelligence. You have to be able to discriminate between an old car and a new car, between a 50 rupee note and a 100 rupee note, between something that's healthy and something that's unhealthy. If you can't discriminate, what kind of intelligence do you have? If you're something that's genuine and something that's bogus, if you don't have the ability to discriminate, What is the meaning of intelligence? Intelligence means discriminate. This is the right answer, this is the wrong answer. If you can't discriminate between the two, what kind of test could you pass? So it's not that we don't discriminate, but we see in the background, everyone is spirit soul, everyone belongs to Krishna. But this is a spirit soul who's forgotten Krishna, this is a spirit soul who's against Krishna. This is a spiritual who's trying to serve Krishna. There's a distinction observed between them. At the same time, we see they're all spirit souls.
Despite knowing this fact that they are all part and parcel of Lord Krishna, sometime or other we must be in the habit of discriminating according to the
all this should be in the habit of discriminating. We know they're part of Krishna, but they're different parts of Krishna. Just like a is earth and the water pockets earth. But the intelligent person has to discriminate. If I try to bring water in a brick, that's not going to work. I have to put the water in the water pot. The water pot is earth and the brick is earth, but in the form of a water pot, that earth will let me carry water. In the form of a brick, what will it do? Food is just a transformation of earth. But if I say, well, let me eat earth now, no difference between a rasgulla and grass. The cow ate grass and it became milk and it became a rasgulla. So then let me eat grass also, because there's no difference between rasgulla and grass. That's...
Man, sorry, but last point. I'm recalling a incident when I was sent was to a bathing in a river, and there were scorpion. There was a scorpion. It was floating out river, and you know the scent saw that scorpion and just picked him on his palm. The sand. It was the sand. Only sand was bathing in a river, and there was a scorpion was floating. So he was attempting to just save him by putting that scorpion off on his own palm. But the by nature, the scorpion has just sting him. So he just throw him, but again he put him, and he was continuously being 7 times, 8 times, 9 times. People around him saw him that what you are doing, foolishness. You are just trying to put him on your palm, despite knowing that he is just all the time sticking, stinging you. So what is this? So he is told that he is just doing his on dharma, and I am just doing my on dharma. So this we are just. In a way, we are doing our on dharma. His dharma is to sustain.
So he was picking up the scorpion again and again because he was a saint and trying to save it. And the people said, what are you doing? Because again and again, the scorpion is trying to sting you. So he said, well, the scorpion is just doing his dharma. I'm just doing my dharma. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that even a saintly person becomes happy when a snake or a scorpion is killed. Even a saintly person becomes pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. Because he is doing his dharma. His dharma is to be envious of everyone and to sting. So when a scorpion is killed, the saintly person actually becomes happy. Vasishtha Muni came to Dasharatha Maharaj and asked a favor. What do you want? I want your son. Why? There's some demons, we want them killed. Now he's a saintly person, Vasishtha Muni. Why is he asking for the demons to be killed? The demons are just doing their dharma, disturbing the saintly persons. But Vasishtha Muni asked, well, it's not my dharma to kill him, but it's your son's dharma, please let me borrow your son. The saintly persons. Srila Prabhupada told them in his own life one time, there was a snake that was discovered in the ashram. And the devotees told his Guru Maharaj that there was a snake. So then his Guru Maharaj said, no, kill it. So they did. So Prabhupada, at that time, he was wondering, that Guru Maharaj is a saintly person, why is he asking for the snake to be killed? He said, later I saw that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I understood. How can we become consistent in our bhakti and our services? Do them every day. Have a regular routine. And every day you do such, just like brushing your teeth. How are you consistent? Then you have a routine. That every day you get up and then you brush your teeth and then you do this and you do that. So same way. You can chant 16 rounds. You can read Bhagavad Gita. You can whatever your spiritual program is. You can do that. Have a time, have a program. Outside, inside. Not that progress is limited to inside the temple. Krishna is everywhere. The whole lineage of Krishna is everywhere.
Because while you are working, we become very tired.
If you can't figure out how to make progress outside the temple, then join the temple. How can you
give up duplicity in this part of?
How do you give up duplicity? By simplicity. This Jaita Dharpana Margin, chanting Hare Krishna purifies the heart. So then the heart becomes simple. There's so many things in the heart, duplicity, envy, anger, lust, greed, anger, there's all these things. Tam, kum, lom, lom, sorry. Chanting Hare Krishna purifies the heart. You know, chanting Hare Krishna regularly. It's like,
what is the harmful effects of enjoying tendency and envy?
The harmful effects of enjoying tendency and envy. Envy, of course, becomes, probably we all know the harmful effects of envy. We envy others and then they envy us back, and our whole life becomes complicated, and then we want something that we can't get. Just because of trouble. So envy is sort of well understood. The troubles of envy are well understood. But what's the problem with enjoying? Enjoying is nice, right? Why should enjoyment be considered troublesome? But enjoyment is problematic. Yehi samsparsha bhoga dukkha yoni. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the secret of enjoyment is that it's the source of misery. Samsparsha bhoga, the enjoyment that comes from the touch of the senses with their objects, is actually a source of misery. The fish is attracted to something to eat. Enjoyment for the time. But he doesn't know that there's a hook there and he's going to suffer. The deer is attracted of the way they used to hunt deer in the old days. They play on the flute and the deer, curious deer, comes to hear enjoyment. But instead it's actually killed. Or the elephant. You know how they catch an elephant? You dig a pit and you tie a she-elephant on the other side, and the elephant comes running to enjoy it, and he falls in the pit and he becomes a slave for the rest of his life. And men do the same thing. They run after some woman to enjoy it, and then they spend the rest of their life in domestic servitude. The more we want to enjoy in the material world, the more we suffer. Yes.
What are the benefits of brahmacharya life?
What's the benefits of brahmacharya life? Save a lot of money. Everyone's working hard. Why? For wife, for family. Wife means street. Street means one who expands. Women are expert at expanding your expenditures. However much you make, they'll find a way to spend it for you. So just on that one, from a financial calculation, because most of our life is spent in financial, work to get money. Why? For wife and family. But the brahmacharya doesn't have to, you can skip all that. And how many hours a week do we spend working? How many days a week? 5-6 days out of 7. What's that as a percentage? And what's your return on investment? All of that work, and then you get like a weekend, or 1 or 2 days. It's not a very favorable ratio, 5 or 6 to 1 or 2. And why all that work? For family. So if you can skip all that family, if you skip family life, then you skip so much expenditure. It's just practical on that account. Apart from that, there's no attachment in the material world greater than attachment to women. So one who can avoid that attachment is practically 50% liberated, Srila Prabhupada used to say. Just that he's not connected with a woman means already he's 50% liberated. So much advantage. Brahmacharya life is simple. Simple, happy life. And if you want to find out about it, ask someone who's been married for years and years. And of course, sometimes they don't give you an honest answer. But in my experience, so many people who've been married for years and years, they're suffering and they want to get out. It's such a burden. Financial pressure is overwhelming, and the problems of the wife is not happy, and this and that. Problems with relatives, problems with children. I'm one person and I have so many problems. So when I join with another person, now I have double the problems. And then when we have children, now it's triple or quadruple. Why increase the amount of problems? Don't we have enough on it? By association of women, the tendency is to become intoxicated. How beautiful she is, how she says a few words. So better to be intoxicated by the beauty of Krishna. Yes? Is that all right?
It is said that all the qualities we possess are because...
All the qualities what?
All the qualities we have is because Krishna has those qualities.
Yes.
So, is it true for the negative ones also?
All the qualities we have is because Krishna has those qualities. Is it true for the negative ones? Envy is there in Krishna sometimes. He becomes envy, practically. Sometimes, maybe in his dealings with his friends, there's some transcendental envy. Certainly, there's a tendency to steal. That's definitely found in Krishna. He's notorious for stealing. He becomes angry. Nishankade became so angry at Hiranyakashipu. What else is the negative quote? course he's entitled to be proud, he's the Supreme Person. Everything is coming from Krishna, either directly or indirectly. What is that? Directly or indirectly? Anyway, just like light is directly giving illumination and so on, and light also produces clouds. The sun also produces clouds, and the clouds create darkness. So the darkness is also a manifestation of light in a negative sense. So when there's an absence of the transcendental features of Krishna, then you get the material energy, which is also Krishna in a different aspect. So the darkness also emanates from the light. Without light, there can't be darkness. So in that sense, darkness also emanates from Krishna. And where there's absence of Krishna consciousness, then there's lust, anger, envy, greed. So directly and indirectly, everything is a manifestation of Krishna.
So it is said that Rishi Vedvyasa is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Rishi Vedvyasa is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Is it true or not?
Is it true or not? Vedvyasa is an incarnation of Krishna. Should I deny it? Why not true?
Sir, if it is true, then sir, why he created so many branches of Vedas? If we know Lord Vishnu is supreme, then he should create only one Veda so that there is no more confusion.
Literary incarnation of Krishna. So he has passed on those things in this way. First he manifests the Vedas and then Puranas and everything. But then, no, this is not enough. And then it's human problem.
So, why in Shiva Purana he explains that Lord Shiva is supreme than Lord Vishnu?
Yes. For people in the mode of ignorance, to give them some encouragement. There are six Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, six for those in passion, six for those in ignorance.
Yes.
How can someone's intelligence be lusty?
What?
Intelligence be lusty.
How can intelligence be lusty?
That's what the lust acts through body, mind, senses, mind, and intelligence.
Say again.
The lust acts through the senses, mind, and the...
Lust acts through the senses, mind, and intelligence.
How can someone's intelligence be lusty?
How can intelligence be contaminated? Dhyana, what is that? Sangat sandhyayate kama, kama krodho vijayate. Anyway, the meaning, it becomes contaminated this way. And one is thinking of sense enjoyment. What is that? Jayato Vishayapunsa. One is thinking of sense enjoyment. Then Sangate Shukujayate, one becomes all wrapped up in that. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Then lust develops. So now lust, give a practical example. Nand is becoming lusty. He's attracted towards some woman. And he starts thinking, how can I connect with that woman? Then his intelligence starts working. Well, I know her friend. And I could ask that friend to introduce me. Or I could pretend that I'm new in town and I don't know my way and I could speak to her. Could you tell me how to get from here to then I can strike up a conversation? And then from that, something. Or maybe I'll just try a direct approach and say, wow, hey beautiful, when did you come to town? Or, you know, and his intelligence is thinking of all the different ways that he might get started with that woman. And then it's usually the intelligence by that time is in overdrive, and he's thinking, and then, so he's, you know, 5 steps ahead, he's already, you know. So the intelligence is the same thing, the cat is thinking that I'll wait till you leave the kitchen and then I'll jump on. So he's using his intelligence. How can I make friends with that woman? Why is he using his intelligence that way? Because of lust. He's thinking, by association with that woman, I will enjoy. So he's making some plan. And then after they leave, and after their friends, then he's got further plans. How to enjoy. Or he has diffused lust. It's not specifically directed toward any woman, but toward all women. So he's thinking, you know, if I get a motorcycle, vroom, vroom, you know, then the women will go. And if I dress this way, and if I smell this way, and if I walk this way, and if I talk that way, it's not specifically directed toward any particular woman, just women in general, how to attract women, how to be impressive to women. So he's using his intelligence, so-called intelligence, or his misdirected intelligence, how to attract women. If I bought a new sports car, then. Or big men would do the same thing, you know, how to be very sophisticated, how to be all for attracting. So it's intelligence. And it's men for how do I engage in devotional service, how do I get free from materialistic life, how do I get free from birth and death, how do we to go back home, back to God. That same intelligence is using to think, how can I attract to a woman, or how can I attract women, period. How can I enjoy? And that's how intelligence becomes contaminated with that stuff. How can you develop taste for hearing about Krishna more and more? By hearing about Krishna more and more. In the association of devotees. Satam prasangat malavirya sandhya. In the association of devotees, the potency of Krishna Katha is manifest. So by hearing, by discussing, in the company of devotees, we'll develop more enthusiasm for hearing that.
Those people who are following Shiva Purana, how can they come back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Slowly. If they devote those who are worshipping Lord Shiva, at least they're accepting a higher authority. At least they're accepting there's a Supreme, and I should serve that Supreme. But they're bewildered, they're thinking Lord Shiva is Supreme, and they're seeking advancement in material affairs by the grace of Lord Shiva. But at least they're acknowledging that there's some higher authority. So in that way they make a little bit of advancement. But very slowly, very slowly.
Sir, if we are so written all Vedas, even Shivpuran, just for entertaining those people, just for entertaining Tamogun people, then sir, why he has not written at the end of each Puran that a Supreme Personality is only Lord Vishnu, none other?
He's encouraging them in their own direction. Actually, Vishnu is glorified everywhere. There's a statement like that from Madhvacharya. He's quoted that in the Vedas, the Puranas, Mahabharata, actually Vishnu is glorified everywhere. But they'll find a way not to notice that.
What about all
the
You just mentioned the point I noticed, Nishya. You died with Nishya and you said,
Nishya means confidence, faith.
So when we just remind us to that, oh, this is wrong, I know my intention is so called, let's say this is wrong. My so called intention is that this is wrong.
So called wrong.
I'm saying intelligence.
Yeah.
So, as you just told him that our intelligence gets dirty, by just thinking that when we think that how can I attract this woman and this way and that way, and we just start, this goes in our side, and nobody just knows that I'm thinking this way.
Could you do me a favor? Could you slow down a little bit?
Yeah. So, this is my habit, I'm so sorry.
Where are you from?
From Faizabad.
From?
Faizabad.
Okay. Slow down a little bit and it will make my life easier. Go ahead. Don't slow down that much.
No, I was saying when you just determine that this is wrong, I know this is wrong, and I have to just stop it at any cost. But when you just take any figure or any determination that I have to stop it at any cost, but when another occasion comes and just you just very easily you fall down. So you did whatever
the therefore one should keep association with devotees. And they say strength in numbers. Or one stick that can be broken, but many sticks together will be difficult to break. So if I'm on my own, then I may be subject to forgetfulness and deviation. But if I associate with others, then I may forget, but he's not forgetting. Or he forgets, but I'm not forgetting. So you get strength. In the Vietnam War, and probably not just Vietnam, but as an example, the Americans had their troops and their most powerful country in the world and so on and so on. But the Vietnamese were very expert in picking off the American soldiers, particularly those who'd fallen behind. Someone becomes separated from the platoon. You can't attack the platoon, that's, too many guys. But if one soldier becomes separated from the platoon, then you just shoot him. Easy. So, on our own, we may find it difficult. And we make a determination and then we lose the determination. But if we associate with those who are also serious, then it becomes, just like I say, I'm going to give up cigarettes. But then I become attracted. But if two of us decide, let's both give up cigarettes, then he reminds me, I remind him. It becomes easier. So, association. Will help us. Of course, determination, the more we simply become determined, and the more we develop a taste for Krishna consciousness, because simply determining, I'm going to give this up, I'm going to give this up. But if we don't have something else, then we go back to it. So if we, but raso varja misopyasya, we have something better, then we forget about that smaller thing. The same thing, how can I give it up, how can I give it up? But if you have something better, you don't even think about it. I'm going to give it up. It's basically, how could I go for it? So, by association and by developing a higher taste. Something else?
How can we differentiate between good karmas and bad karmas? Because sometimes...
How do we differentiate between good karmas and bad karmas? From one point of view, they're all bad. All karma is bad karma. Good or bad, it's all bad. Even so-called pious activities are also bad. Anything other than the service of Krishna is bad. Pious or impious, it doesn't matter. How's that? Does that answer your question?
Sometimes we do some karma which is favorable for someone, but from his side of view, it is not favorable.
Therefore, we have to see what's favorable for Krishna, not what's favorable in the estimation of my fellow human beings.
Okay, that's okay. But sir, let's say I'm in spot. You know that it's good for me, but sir, but my mentality says that it's not good for me. I'm changing my religion and business. Because of this, I got some loss. So then, sir, I give some thanks, obviously, sir. I will say something about you which is wrong.
So you have to know by Shastra, Karya Karya Vyavastita, has to know from the literature what I should do and what I shouldn't do. It's not just by whim, but there are basic directions. This is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. One shouldn't.
When we see some material attractions, then why a negative thought of attraction arises in our mind?
Why does attraction arise in the mind?
Why negative thought of attraction arises in our mind?
Why does attraction to material things arise in our mind? Because the mind is polluted. Because the mind is polluted since time immemorial. Or because the mind is infected by Rajagun, Tamagun, or the more compassion and ignorance.
But when I see some dead matter like this, microphone or any chair, I do not get attracted. I mean,
you don't become attracted by the mind. Although people do, they become attracted by a microphone or an iPad. iPad is just a piece of plastic, but it becomes attractive in a certain way. So the material nature is designed just like a pig. A pig is not particularly attractive to us. If we see a female pig full of dirt and muck, we don't become attracted. Oh, a beautiful pig. But the male pig becomes all excited. Is squealing with excitement. We don't become excited by seeing stool. That doesn't attract us. But when the pig sees it, it goes, that's all attractive, enthusiastic. Because the senses are made in such a way that there is a corresponding set of sense objects. If the pig were to see whichever woman is on the cover of City Blitz these days, the pig would not become impressed. But we become impressed, we become attracted. Because the senses are made in such a way that they're attracted to some particular sense. sense objects. Mm-hmm. And generally, women are more attractive. You know, nobody gets all that worked up about a microphone or this or that, but women generally do it. Therefore, the woman is the supreme work of artistry by Maya.
But how can we stop this thought from arising in our mind?
You can't stop the thought from arising in the mind. You can't stop the thought from arising in the mind. The mind has been there since time immemorial. And even a sedentary person will sometimes think of a woman or sometimes think of something. But if he's Krishna conscious, then the thought is not very important. Just for the person who's a materialist, when he thinks about sense enjoyment, then he starts thinking more about sense enjoyment, and that's like, wow, they'll pay money for it. You know, the whole pornography is, industry people are paying money to have their minds more agitated. Their minds are already agitated, and they're paying money to have their mind more agitated. It's what they see as an opportunity. How can I increase my mental
stamina?
How can I stimulate my mind for sense enjoyment? You know, where can I read a novel that will talk about the dealings of men and women? Where can I see a movie about the dealings between men and women? They're paying money to agitate the mind for no, you know, it doesn't benefit them. All they become is more disturbed. But still, they're paying money for it. The mind is agitated, and they think to agitate it more. Now, the Krishna conscious person, some material thought comes, whether it's money or it's women or it's fame or it's whatever. But he just thinks, oh, this is some stupid thought. Why? Rasa Varga was so abusive. He has a higher taste. You can't stop artificially. What is that? Yadpada pankaja palasha vilasha bhakti. In the fourth canto, Kumaras instructed the Kumaras. But to stop the waves of material desire is very difficult. Stop the waves of material desire is very difficult. Even those sages who are trying to stop material desire, they find it practically impossible. But when the person's mind is engaged in the lotus petal feet of Krishna, Vasudeva, then automatically he becomes free from these implication of these desires. Vajrabhasadeva, therefore the Kumaras advise, just engage your mind in the thought of Krishna. To stop the mind is practically impossible. To stop thoughts. But to think of Krishna is very easy.
In that question regarding the origin of demonic qualities, that isn't that because the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world?
Mm-hmm.
So all the good qualities are
all the good qualities become bad in the material world.
So, what changed?
So it's like stealing in the spiritual world, when Krishna steals, that's a good quality. But in the material world, when we do it, it becomes a bad quality. Anything Krishna does, that's pure. But we try to do the same thing. Just like the sun drinks urine. Because people pass urine in the field and the sun absorbs it. But the result is that the sun remains pure and the place becomes pure. Now if we think, well, the sun is drinking urine, let me also drink urine. That won't work. Because you don't have the power that the sun has. For a cheetah drank an ocean of poison. If you tried to drink even a little spoonful, you're finished. So we can't try to imitate those who are powerful. But we can follow their instructions. But Krishna, he can dance with the gopis, he's pure. If we try the same sort of business, we become contaminated. So that's the difference between us and Krishna.
The eternal home of the spirit soul is Lord Krishna's abode. So how were we kicked out of there? How were we thrown out of there initially, initial stages?
You can't even figure an initial stage because it's since time immemorial. But the principle is that by misusing our independence, we are in this material world. Krishna is independent. We have a little independence. Independence means we can misuse it.
So, even if we advance to Krishna's abode today, we will be independent of coming back.
Yes, you don't worry about it. Don't worry that what happens if I go there and blah 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 blah. Just go. If you still have a problem about it, once you go, you can ask Krishna.
Yes. If we go to astrology, he advises worship of some demigod.
He advises what?
Worship of some demigod like Sanbod or Lord Shiva. Mm-hmm. Is it recommended?
Recommended that you find a new astrologer.
Like not me, my mother or my grandmother. My mother or grandmother.
Yeah, if your astrologer suggests that you should worship Lord Shiva, you say that's all right. Then you worship Krishna. Because by worshiping Krishna, you worship Lord Shiva, you worship Durga, you worship Ganesh, you worship Surya, you worship everyone. Krishna bhakti koino sarvakarma kritah. So whoever they say to worship, that's all right. Thank you very much. Give us. And then worship Krishna. All business will be included. Just like if you said you need 50 rupees. So if you get 100 rupees, then you don't have to worry. How will I get 50? It's included. Soon people want. Some people don't believe in God, but they're very hardworking. They're very hardworking. Will Krishna embrace them? To be very hardworking is not the qualification. The ass is also very hardworking. You know, they have this expression, worship, work is worship. You know, but if work were worship, the ass would be a pujari.
very last question. Sometimes this writers to be
Mokha Shamoga Karmano Moga Gyan Vijayasa. Rakshasi Masuri and Jaiva Prakriyam Mohini Shripa. Krishna says that those who are atheistic, mokasha, their hopes will be frustrated. Moga karmana, their work will be frustrated. Moga jnana, their knowledge will be frustrated. Why? Vichetasa, because they're turning away from Krishna. Rakshasi Nasri and Chaiva, Prakritim Mohini and Shripa. Because instead of taking shelter of Krishna, they're taking shelter of the bewildering material energy. And what happens when you take shelter of that material bewildering energy? You get bewildered. So their reward for their work is bewilderment. And more work.
When I was in 6th class, there was a story by Leila. So Leila was telling that Krishna is a carpenter. He used to do his work daily. And one day a man from heaven came up to him and he was writing something in the golden book. So this carpenter asked him, my name is here on that book. So sorry, he asked him that, what are you doing? So he said that I am writing the names of the persons who are loved by God. So he went again that day. Then he said again that man comes from heaven to care. He said that again he asked that what are you doing? I am searching the names of the person who was loved by God. So he found that layman, the person, the part of the person, his name was on the door. So he was not worshiping God, but his name was on the door.
Well, that's very nice. And who is the author of that story? And who is he? He's a poet. So the poet has written a story in which the carpenter becomes the greatest saint because he's working hard at his work. So the poet is a fool. But simply by working hard, you become very dear to God. Why? Simply by working like an ass, you become dear to God. Krishna's name is Bhakta Vatsala. The person who's very fond of the bhaktas, he's not known as Karmi Vatsala. He's not impressed by your work. Krishna never says, just work. Work. Karma Nevadikara, stay Bhaktalesha Kadachana. Yes, you become dear to Krishna when you work and you give the results of the work to Krishna. Yet Kuroshi Yada Shashi then. But your poet doesn't know that. He hasn't read Bhagavad Gita, he hasn't understood. He just has some poetic idea that if you're a carpenter, you must be a saint. He's a fool. And some fool has put it in your curriculum. And some other and you're a fool because you're paying money to hear it. He said, sir, I met this Brahmin and the cobbler, and they both want to know. So Narayan said, yes, I know that Brahmin. You can tell him he'll be liberated after 10,000 births. And the cobbler, he'll be liberated in this lifetime. Narada was astonished that the learned Brahmin is going to need 10,000 lifetimes, and the simple cobbler is going to go back to Godhead immediately. So he expressed that to the Lord. The Lord said, no, when you go and meet them, and if they ask you what I was doing, you tell them that I was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle, this way and that way. So Narad Muni returned. He met the Brahmin, and the Brahmin asked, did you see the Lord? And Narad said, yes. And did you ask him when I'll be liberated? He said, yes. After 10,000 births. And naturally the Brahmin was very disappointed. And he asked, what was the Lord doing? Narad said, he was pulling an elephant through the eye of the needle this way and that way. Brahmin said, always, Narad Muni, always telling stories. And then the Narad went and met the cobbler and told that in one birth he'll be liberated. Naturally the cobbler was very pleased. And he asked, what was Narayan doing? So Narad Muni told him, pulling the elephant. So then the cobbler began to cry. Narayan is so great. Narada said, you believe it? He said, yes, why not? He said, I'm sitting here, I'm making shoes, I'm sitting under this banyan tree. And from banyan tree, so many fruits are there. In each fruit, there's so many seeds. And in each seed, the Lord has put another big banyan tree. So if the Lord can put such a big tree into such a little seed, then what is the difficulty for him in pulling the elephant through the eye of the needle? Simple thing. So there you have a story also, but it's not told by some mundane poet, it's told by the self-realized souls. And it's not just that because the cobbler was working very hard in his business of making shoes, that Narayan said, oh, such a devoted shoemaker, he's making shoes and making shoes. And he's staying up at night making shoes, so he's such a great person. No, none of this rubbish. Because he was a devotee. It didn't have to be a Brahmin, didn't have to be a PhD, but he understood, he was intelligent. And if Krishna can put the big tree into such a little seed, then he's, what can't he do? Well, because he was a devotee. Aktosi me sakacheti rahasya me tarukam. What did Gita Krishna say? The devotees will understand. Anusyanam sahasreshu kashchityati visite yudhidhāma visite kashchityati. Bhaktyānam vijānam ti vāmis jāsva tattvata. The devotees will enter the spiritual world. Doesn't matter whether he's a Brahmin. Brahmin can also go. Cobbler can also go. Anyone can go. Qualifications, not just to work hard. Any ass can do that. Qualification is to be a pure devotee of Krishna.
Sometimes materialists ask this question, that they give this story that there's a sage sitting near a river and he's chanting the holy names. And there is this one person who makes the bridge over the river so that people can cross the river. Now who is greater? This way they say, no, the person who creates the bridge is greater. He's doing a welfare activity while
no.
The sage who's only chanting.
The person who builds the bridge, what is he doing? He's helping people get to the other side of the river to do the same thing they're doing on the first side. He's not helping anyone. But the devotee is helping everyone by chanting Hare Krishna. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that the neophyte devotee who's simply ringing the bell in the temple is doing better welfare work than the greatest humanitarian or philanthropist.
So they ask how?
Because the real business of life is to become a devotee of Krishna. He's chanting Hare Krishna. Everyone could take advantage of it, but even if no one takes advantage of it, the grass will hear. And they'll make spiritual progress. But the guy who builds the bridge. There's so many bridges. Power Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge, this bridge, that, and what happens? They just become filled with traffic. People going, you know, 2 hours driving this way and 2 hours driving that. What is the bridge? Just to help a person get from one side of the material world to the other. Robin was better than the guy who was building a bridge. He was building a tower so he could go to the heavenly planets. So who's better? The bridge builder or Robin? Well, Robin is better. But even if you go to the heavenly planets, what will you do there? You know, waste your time and come back down.
Maharaji, we listened from Gita that ki sarvadharma paritya jaya maam ekam saranam bhavantam sarva paapam kurya. But yes, we do not practice it in our daily life. I'm having ₹400 in my pocket. And I'm very much apprehensive about my future.
You've got?
I'm saying I have got ₹500, ₹400 in my pocket. And I'm just, Krishna consciousness, I'm listening to you really carefully. But at least still I'm very apprehensive about my future. Despite of knowing that Krishna is welfare, Krishna is all, Krishna is well, and I have to surrender myself fully, you know, just without any caring anything about else. But despite knowing this very fact, I'm just very much apprehensive about my future. So why should I be apprehensive now? Then why this apprehensive?
If you have 400 rupees in your pocket and you're apprehensive about your future, give 200 rupees to the devotees. Then you'll have 200 rupees less to worry about losing. And you'll be making advancement in Krishna service.
Should I not be worried about my future?
Why worry about your future, Krishna says? Yoga Kshema Lahamya. You surrender to me, and I'll take care of what you need, and I'll supply what you lack. Why should we worry? I'm doing this since 40 years. Every day I'm getting something to eat, every day I have some place to sleep. What is the difficulty?
Then I'm surrendering myself to Krishna consciousness.
Everyone will get the results of their karma anyway, so why be in anxiety? Krishna's providing for all living entities. The ant gets its grain of sugar, the elephant gets a ton of sugar. Krishna's arranging. So if he's arranging for everyone, why not be tired? You know? Okay. Should we stop here? Give me some direction.
Yes, we are late.
Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.